Now turn to part two. You will hear an airline pilot called Rebecca Martin talking on the radio about a typical day in her job. For questions 7 to 15, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at part two.
My name's Rebecca Martin, and I'm a pilot for Paradise Airlines, and I'd like to tell you about what I do in a typical day's work. About an hour before the flight is due to leave, I'll be in the crew room checking the flight plan and notices, information about the airports we'll be flying to. Today there's a warning about birds in Athens. Swallows, for example, aren't such an issue, but today it's geese, which is another matter. You wouldn't want one of those going through your engine, so we'll keep a lookout for them. Otherwise, it looks as if we won't be running into anything complicated like storms or fog. Today, we'll be flying to Athens, then Rome, onto Paris, and back to the UK. There'll be two pilots on board, so we can take a break, but no stopover, fortunately. Some of the crew see these as one of the attractions of the job, especially in destinations like Athens. But I prefer my own bed. Luckily, I only have to do one or two long-haul flights per month, which involve being away from home. I usually do the long-haul African and Asian routes, and there we make sure there is a second fully qualified captain aboard. That amounts to a minimum 6,000 flying hours between us. And it's not unheard of to have a first officer as an extra pair of hands on these trips. That's someone with 1,500 hours flying experience. I talk to my co-pilot about the pre-flight preparations. What he does is calculate the amount of fuel we're going to need, which means working out the weight of the plane, plotting the route into the computer, and allowing a bit extra for contingencies, such as if we get diverted for one reason or another, or have to circle an airport for half an hour waiting for permission to land, which happens on a regular basis. Pilots definitely need a good head for figures to do all these calculations. I don't have a degree, which would be a prerequisite these days, but I did pass exams in maths, physics and chemistry, and I'd say all of us have a strong science background. Even when I was a young child, I thought I might like to see the world one day, but these dreams were just a vague desire, and becoming a pilot wasn't exactly a burning passion for me at that stage. But then I left school to train as an insurance broker, and after a few years thought, do I really want to spend the next 40 years doing this? So then I got my private flying license, and one thing led to another, and here I am, an airline pilot. It took me a while to get used to the expectations people have of you. We're thought of as superior beings by the rest of the cabin crew, and they sometimes even call us that, though I suspect they're not entirely serious. But you do need to develop something that's summed up in the phrase, a sense of calm. If you don't have that, people won't have confidence in you or respect you, and that's a real problem for an airline pilot. And of course, you get to see a lot of the world. The highlight of any trip for me is a night flight, if the sky is clear. It's magical. You can see stars galore above you and the lights of cities laid out below. My favourite destination is Mombasa in Kenya, where I can sometimes fit in a coach trip. And last month I was lucky enough to go on safari, which I'd always wanted to do. Although, unfortunately, it was the rainy season. A friend's outside work can struggle to understand why you aren't available on Friday or Saturday evenings. It really helps that the work of my partner, who's an air traffic controller, also involves antisocial hours. We don't have children, but one of my friends is a pilot who has 3 children, so she's having a hard time of it. Anyway, coming back to today's flight, the next thing...
Now you will hear part 2 again.
My name's Rebecca Martin, and I'm a pilot for Paradise Airlines, and I'd like to tell you about what I do in a typical day's work. About an hour before the flight is due to leave, I'll be in the crew room checking the flight plan and notices. Information about the airports we'll be flying to. Today there's a warning about birds in Athens. Swallows, for example, aren't such an issue, but today it's geese, which is another matter. You wouldn't want one of those going through your engine, so we'll keep a lookout for them. Otherwise, it looks as if we won't be running into anything complicated like storms or fog. Today we'll be flying to Athens, then Rome, onto Paris, and back to the UK. There'll be 2 pilots on board, so we can take a break, but no stopover, fortunately. Some of the crew see these as one of the attractions of the job, especially in destinations like Athens, but I prefer my own bed. Luckily, I only have to do 1 or 2 long-haul flights per month, which involve being away from home. I usually do the long-haul African and Asian routes, and there we make sure there is a second fully qualified captain aboard. That amounts to a minimum 6,000 flying hours between us. And it's not unheard of to have a first officer as an extra pair of hands on these trips. That's someone with 1,500 hours flying experience. I talk to my co-pilot about the pre-flight preparations. What he does is calculate the amount of fuel we're going to need, which means working out the weight of the plane, plotting the route into the computer, and allowing a bit extra for contingencies, such as if we get diverted for one reason or another, or have to circle an airport for half an hour waiting for permission to land, which happens on a regular basis. Pilots definitely need a good head for figures to do all these calculations. I don't have a degree, which would be a prerequisite these days, but I did pass exams in maths, physics, and chemistry. And I'd say all of us have a strong science background. Even when I was a young child, I thought I might like to see the world one day. But these dreams were just a vague desire, and becoming a pilot wasn't exactly a burning passion for me at that stage. But then I left school to train as an insurance broker, and after a few years thought, do I really want to spend the next 40 years doing this? So then I got my private flying licence, and one thing led to another, and here I am, an airline pilot. It took me a while to get used to the expectations people have of you. We're thought of as superior beings by the rest of the cabin crew, and they sometimes even call us that, though I suspect they're not entirely serious. But you do need to develop something that's summed up in the phrase, a sense of calm. If you don't have that, people won't have confidence in you or respect you, and that's a real problem for an airline pilot. And of course, you get to see a lot of the world. The highlight of any trip for me is a night flight, if the sky is clear. It's magical. You can see stars galore above you and the lights of cities laid out below. My favourite destination is Mombasa in Kenya, where I can sometimes fit in a coach trip. And last month I was lucky enough to go on safari, which I'd always wanted to do. Although, unfortunately, it was the rainy season. A friend's outside work can struggle to understand why you aren't available on Friday or Saturday evenings. It really helps that the work of my partner, who's an air traffic controller, also involves antisocial hours. We don't have children, but one of my friends is a pilot who has 3 children, so she's having a hard time of it. Anyway, coming back to today's flight, the next...
That is the end of part 2.